Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. Please join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Director Womack. Present. Vice President Sesenia?
Well, been here for a long time.
President Forcroy.
I'm here. Okay, thank you. First agenda item is closed session. Do we have any public comment for our closed session item?
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Okay, with that, we're going to adjourn to closed session and we will be back at 6 o'clock. Hey, we are going to reconvene here to open session and District Council will give us our report at a closed session.
Thank you. All members of the board participated in the closed session this evening regarding the one item on the posted agenda, which is the potential acquisition of the Sunnyside school site. We're pleased to say that the CSD staff and council have been working with the school district staff and council. And the staffs have worked out an agreement on the site, and we now await the verdict of the voters, and we'll have an agreement to be approved if the tax measure is approved.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, we'll launch into our fire department report. I know we have one.
Yeah, Josh is up in Sacramento, so I don't think we'll have a presentation report for it.
We okay. Just have Do we have anybody else online?
It does not look like we have CHP or the Sheriff Department online.
Okay. Well, with that, let's take public comment on any of the public safety reports.
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment on that.
Okay, moving to general action items, we have our preliminary budget review.
Great, thank you very much. Tonight, we have our preliminary budget for next fiscal year. It's a little more complicated this year because of the transition that we're gonna go through with general managers and also the uncertainty of Sunnyside School purchase, whether we'll be successful on that ballot measure or not. With that said, what I'm looking for tonight is direction on mostly a few items like cost allocation changes. We've been looking at how much time we spend on each fund, and we're recommending some adjustments to the percentages. And every year we have our Zone A property tax, and I'll get into that explanation of that in just a moment. And then, of course, any comments you may have as we go through the different funds. So we can jump right into Zone A property tax allocation. And for people that don't know what Zone A is, it's a property tax that is designated tax allocation derived from property taxes collected community-wide. Back when this was under county control, that was, Zone A money was used primarily for the water service area of the community, but now the board tries to allocate it across funds that have community-wide benefit. And these are discretionary to the board, and we'll look at the options that staff has put together. We have four options. The amount we're looking at this year is about $347,000. So the first one, this is the current allocations before we get moving into the others. As you can see, we allocated a little more to fire than parks and rec and water. That is part of what the board agreed to when we did our water rate study a couple of years ago, the $50,000 contribution. But that still is discretionary if the board wants to change that or not. And we did put the same amount to drainage. So option one is a similar to this year's allocation, putting fire ahead of parks and rec and water at the same level and drainage approximately at the same level. So virtually it's the same type of percentages that we have this year. Option two just flips that. We put a little more towards parks and rec, and fire takes a little more less, and then the other two funds, water and drainage, are about equal. The next two really is if the board is wanting to move more revenue towards parks. So this pushes revenue, parks and rec revenue, you know, a little more significant approach or support to that fund. And it just lowers it at fire and keeps water and drainage at about the even level of 50,000 range. And then finally, this is a full all-in decision by the board to financially support parks and rec. And this would actually help them start building reserves for that fund. So I put all four on here because I know it's probably a little bit small, but I know we don't have to bounce back and forth unless you really want to get a bigger view on the screen. So really the decision is, do we want option one or two, where it's pretty much the same, but we emphasize one of the funds over the other? Because the other thing about Parks and Rec that I failed to mention is we do try to replenish that fund every year from the expenditures. Like from this fiscal year, we've had quite a few expenditures to support the acquisition of Sunnyside School. Or do we want to keep it as is? And then, of course, the options three and four are throwing a majority of the support towards Fund 900, which is Parks and Rec. So with that, I'll open it up to questions, comments, and general feeling from the board.
Okay. We'll bring that back. Yeah, we always have a good discussion about this. One of the things that always comes up, right, is Zone A is community-wide tax. Not all of these funds are community-wide. Water, for instance, is not, which we've tapered that off over time. Does anybody have any feelings about that?
Yeah, speaking to that, it seems like a reference here that we're locked into the 50,000 to water because of the rate study that we counted on that 50,000 as revenue in the rate study.
That's correct. And if you recall, the justification for that is that the CSD is taking the lead on quite a few projects that have community-wide benefit.
Right, the BMC.
And so we are spending quite a bit of especially my time, staff time, for those types of projects.
So the rate study goes on for another year?
Two more years. Next fiscal year and then the following.
Okay, so we're kind of locked into that for 2 years because the rate study was approved. We made that commitment. Okay.
Right, and you know, it's again your discretion. You know,
yes.
If we feel that revenue is needed somewhere else, that is your discretion.
Right, okay.
Could we talk a little about what the Parks and Rec budget looks like for next year?
Well, we've kept the kind of status quo.
Anticipated potential issues if what happens depending on June 2nd?
It really depends on June 2nd. You know, when we get to that part of the presentation, Fund 900 is pretty much in this budget status quo. If we have an affirmative vote on June 2nd, we're proposing that we come back with a budget for Fund 900 at the July meeting. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to try to guess all this stuff and throw things out that we're not sure about. So that's why when we were talking about this at the staff level, we thought, well, let's just present a status quo budget for Fund 900, and then we can make adjustments based on the community's decision.
You mentioned earlier that the goal for Parks and Rec has always been to keep that fund stable at about that $300,000 that was committed to a swimming pool by the community many, many years ago.
Right.
So we dip into that to support Sunnyside, other things that happen, but we try and keep that fund, that money there. We're never going to have a pool, I don't think, in this community. Maybe it's time for that bigger discussion. But my main question is why the increased emphasis on parks and recreation funding? Do we need that to get back to that $300,000? Because if Sunnyside bond issue or the initiative passes, won't that be funded through that? And so why do we need to increase the parks and rec?
Well, it's a good question. It's really, I have right now, and I have a slide when we get to fund 900, that between what's in reserve and unassigned cash, we're right at 300,000 plus dollars. But that said, we spent, I don't have a firm number, but close to $100,000, something probably less than that, this year, this fiscal year, on Sunnyside School. So if the measure passes, that whole fund changes, Fund 900.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
You know, tremendously, because we're going to have to, and this will be another discussion about assistant GM, general manager's position to help support that and cost allocation. I mean, that's why there's so many moving parts this year. It's been really hard to come to with a preliminary budget because of those moving parts.
So could we essentially, like, say we get down the line to June, July meeting or whatever, and we're seeing that that's going to happen. We see that we're going to have a bunch of expenditures. We need to do some sort of planning process, et cetera. Can we change Zone A allocation?
Absolutely. You can do that at any time.
Okay.
And, you know, basically, really, it's, if you're looking at these four options, you know, do you want to keep it kind of the same or not? You know, or do you see that, you know, even if the measure passes, you want to support it even more? I guess that's where you're going with options three and four. So if you could just say, well, you know, one or two is what we want, that would help, because it's also planning for revenues for fire. That's the main one. You know, what are we going to commit to fire?
Yeah, I would like us to still
exactly
commit to fire.
Yeah.
I have a question though too. Like, what's our need for drainage? Have they paid off their? Did they have a loan?
They do. I think we're in year three right now, so it's still got a couple of years to pay off.
Okay, so this funding helps it pay off its loan.
Yeah, and we still have projects up, or a couple of projects up at Cabrillo Basin. I did get some inquiries from FEMA today that they're moving closer to funding, at least the first part of the projects. So drainage has a few other issues that we'll talk about when we get there. But I think anything we can throw towards drainage would be good.
Okay, so don't steal from drainage for parks.
Well, you know, all of these kind of have drainage at a minimum.
Okay.
What we consider a minimum.
So I was at finance committee on Monday and looking at all of the budget for all of our funds. And I compared that to what we are currently allocating for Zone A. And just for the sake of convenience, I listed the minimum number percentage we would need to allocate to a fund to keep it just above black. And fire would only need 41.7% to remain above black. And that's not counting the true up we would get for staffing costs. Parks and Rec only needs 20.3% of the allocation, and drainage only needs 14.3% of the allocation. So if we use those numbers and then keep water at 14.4%, that gives us 9.3% we can put wherever we want elsewhere, where if we can tweak these options, which I'm just assuming we can.
Right. And again, these are just for discussion. We can put whatever dollar amounts you want there, and then I just have to back into the amount, you know, that $346,683.
It sounds like what you were saying was pretty close to option one.
Mm-hmm. Just bumping drainage up 0.8%.
And then what do you want to bump down?
Fire, because we have two, like 1.something% more for fire for option A than we really need. So if we bump that down just a little bit and then bump drainage up just a little bit, we're black across the board except for water, which is complicated.
But fire, we're looking at the need for a special tax in a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of
Yeah, to me, options three and four, DOA, I think that's the term.
Well, let me actually rephrase that. You could take a fair bit from about 8.4% from Parks and Rec. That would give us pretty comfortably the 4.1% to fire, then to drainage, and we still have 9.3 left over. So what we could do is like 41.7, then plus 3.1% in both fire, then parks and rec, and then drainage, just to kind of balance everything out so they all get a decent amount of funding.
I think my suggestion is that I would prefer to kind of keep things status quo, kind of how we did last year, and then see what happens in June, and then relook at this.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'd agree with that.
You said we need about the 100,000 on Parks and Rec. We've spent.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite that, but it's right in that.
But it's pretty close to that. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to take away from the fire allocation.
What from Parks and Rec then? Just a little, just less than 1%, just to get drainage above black.
It doesn't have to be above black.
Okay.
I mean, it'll get there in a few years.
Yeah,
I think I'm hearing consensus to stay close to option one.
Yes.
And with the right to adjust it
said
as
close.
Yeah, but
as a
put a lot of work in my model.
No, I appreciate that because it
later, yeah.
We're gonna get there. No, I appreciate everything that you put into that. It's too close to option one that's already spelled out there.
Mm-hmm. What I'd suggest is let us go through all the funds and so you can see where we're at.
Okay.
But I think we got general consensus. Option one is close to where the board is comfortable. I think that's
where I'm leaning. Yes, option one.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Small tweak I'd allow, but.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Is there going to be one public comment next?
Yeah, at the end of that presentation.
It's up to you.
If you have comments, we can do some inter.
It is a lot of information. So if you want to break it up.
Okay. Well, let's at least get through one of the funds first.
Yeah. Next is the cost allocation plan. Because of the transitional cost, new general manager's contract and other factors, our budget is going to, for Fund 100, which drives the cost allocation costs, is going from about $795,000 to about $1 million. This won't be an ongoing issue. It's mainly because of the circumstances, and we'll talk more about that when we get to Fund 100. What we are proposing, though, is that Laura and I had been looking at how the workload has been for the past 3 years, and we feel, because of the different funds and the complexity of these different funds that, like fire, for instance, and parks and rec and drainage, it warrants a little bit of a shift in the percentages for cost allocation. So on this one, you have this in the board packet, but it's hard to see on the screen, so I underlined the ones that we're suggesting. Fire for the current allocation is 12.5%. We're looking at a 0.6% adjustment to 13.1%. You can see the adjustment down at the bottom there. It goes from about $126,000 to the $132,000. Since water always pays the most, we're suggesting a decrease in their allocation to provide a little bit relief there because of the time, like I said, all the time that these other funds take. Solid waste, and at this point, parks and rec are staying the same. And this is going to be another discussion we'll have after June 2nd at the June 4th meeting. Drainage, we want to bump up. We see some issues coming that we're going to have to deal with, especially with the overlap of responsibilities with the county. So I'm actually going to request an increase in our legal budget. And then Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, they really don't take that much time. So we're trying to keep them as close as possible. So we're just suggesting a very slight decrease, but it does make a difference in their payments, transfer payments. So this is a little bit easier to see, but it indicates the impacts. Now this is the budget impact is just on the increase, not the overall cost. Because as you can see in this one, you know, there's some of those are pretty big numbers, especially water, when we have to cover that $1 million for Fund 100. So this one is just showing the relative increase if based on what we just proposed with the percentages. So as you can see, water gains the most, or the most benefit, I should say. Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, that $500+ helps them stay closer to what they're paying right now. It's just a slight increase. And then fire and drainage takes the biggest hit because, like I said, we're going to have some, besides the overlap issue, we're going to hopefully have to proceed, or will need to proceed with a project up there on the east side of the Cabrillo Basin.
That makes sense that water's going to take a somewhat less percentage of your time and the other funds are taking more. So that makes sense to me.
So if you're okay with this, we'll work that into the budget you'll see in June, because pretty much in the fund things, or the funds, you know, the budget things we're doing, we didn't do any increases. We just kind of kept it status quo. So again, keep in mind, these are preliminary numbers, and we'll work this in if we have consensus on the changes.
They're minor enough. I mean, it's almost splitting hairs, it seems it like is. To me.
Okay,
if we're good there.
Let's hit a pause. Let's take some public comment on cost allocations, zone allocations.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is none online.
Can you put the chart back up with the four options? Parks has $300,000 sitting in it. The proposal in June, if it passes, is going to not only pay for the property over time, but O&M. So if that passes, that issue is kind of, yes, there's a lot of administration things that have to happen, but it's behind us financially. Getting the property built or bought was the main objective of this, and being able to operate it. 2 years from now, you have to make the argument to the community for a substantial increase in the special fire tax, and for you not to increase the allocation to fire, to try to get that number down of what we're going to need in the future, I think is irresponsible. You now have 2 years to work to get that final number we're going to need to take to the community as low as possible. This is your opportunity. And yeah, parks are great. And everybody says we only have one park in this community, which is true. Sunnyside. I mean, Community Center. We have Montaña d'Oro. We have the Elfin Forest. We have the Oak Preserve. We have people walk all of Baywood in the morning and stop at the inlet. I mean, it's not like we're in the middle of a city with one little small park. There's plenty of places to enjoy the outdoors. That's great. And if this all works out, you got another source. But parks has never saved somebody's lives. And fire, and you know how important it is into this community, and you know how important it was, those who were around 20 years ago, for us to finally get to 4-0 staffing, which will be a major benefit to this community and eliminate the reserve program and those type of things. You have to keep that in mind. The emphasis after this parks issue, no matter which way it goes, has got to be on how we get to that, because parks only needs a 50% plus one to pass. Fire tax needs 66.67. And with the way the economy is now and prices are and people are getting hit at the grocery store, just telling you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, not seeing any other public comment. Let's jump back into the next part.
Yes, now we'll jump into the funds reviews. The report format, we try to break it down to make as readable as possible. We talk about the major requests, the impacts to the budget, and then there's a summary table at the end of each section that really kind of gives you an easier way to look at all the numbers that get thrown around. So our major request in administration is the increase in personnel costs related to COLA for the admin clerk, which is 3.2%, and that is actually on your consent agenda tonight to approve the agreement with SLOCIA for our general employees, and recommending a 3% increase for the administrative services manager. And this is where it gets interesting. We are additional increases. We've shown it with the general manager transition, including the overlap of the outgoing general manager, a new general employment contract, and then some benefits payouts upon the retirement of the current GM. Additionally, we're looking at an assistant general manager position. This would replace the utility systems manager position. We hold that vacant, and that's how it would change the cost allocation. Instead of utilities manager, of course, being 100% fund 500 water, it'd be split 50-50 between admin and water. There are some increases, not much, in general employee costs, such as medical and retirement contributions. And then we do have the election in November coming up, and so that's in the mix as well. So the overall cost for personnel is almost $212,000. Again, that has the other things besides just contract costs for the GM. Service and supply budget will increase by about almost $2,500. So the budget is about 27% over this current fiscal year at a little over $214,000. So this is what it looks like in the summary table. It just breaks it down in terms of what our needs are for the admin budget and how it's distributed, the increases are distributed. Any questions on the admin costs?
Utility systems manager position would remain vacant for how long? I mean, would it go away?
Well, we just hold it vacant just so you're not eliminating a position. We don't know the future, but we're envisioning that the assistant general manager would oversee utilities and then have other duties as well, especially if Sunnyside is passed. We'll be looking at the organizational structure and the having that position filled with a higher level of person with experience and skills will help.
So leave the position vacant until we see how this works and then possibly eliminate it.
Or just keep it vacant until future, you know, just because once you take away a position, it's, yes, future board can always add it back in. But,
okay. Okay. Yeah.
Any questions on this? Fund 200 Bay Ridge Estates, and again, this is similar to 400 Vista de Oro. All we're looking at is the increase in the cost allocation with the decrease in the percentage. It really kind of, this shows that the, if we don't lower the percentage, it would be the a little over $2,500. If we lower the percentage, it's about $500 less. So this is basically showing how that works and will help both Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro. Any questions on that? There's no other budget considerations here. Move on to fire. This one's interesting with our signing, or about, we've signed, or we haven't fully signed the contract yet. We haven't gotten that back from CAL FIRE yet. But with that moving forward, we do see a significant decrease in service and supplies related to those expenditures, because that's where the Schedule A charges are in services and supplies category. And so this is a direct result from the direct contract with CAL FIRE. There are some incremental increases and decreases in other areas. And most of those are where we have pulled out of the Schedule A. In Schedule A, we pay anywhere from 10 to 12% administrative overhead. And that would be like for fuel and certain, you know, turnouts, other types of things that if we, the district, pay directly, we eliminate those charges. So those have been pulled out and are now in our operational budget that you'll see. So we just save money on those types of things. Of course, our reserve policies for Fund 100 will make the contribution to their vehicle replacement reserve, which it increases by 5%, and there's the numbers that associated with that. If the transfer percentage remains at the 12.5%, but it sounds like we're going to raise that a little bit, it'll be an increase of about $30,000. If we increase it by that 0.6%, it's an additional $6,000, so it'd be about a $36,000 increase to Fund 301 for the transfers. The impact on the budget, the decrease in services and supply budgets is approximately $171,000. With the other, you know, increases and reductions in other line items, the overall increase in the fund is a little over $165,000. And of course, the Zone A allocations will impact the final balance of revenue versus expenses. And we'll see a bit better picture of that at our June meeting. So this just shows you where we're at currently. We did keep the allocation of about $131,000. That's what it is for this fiscal year in that revenue number. And it assumes that it's the transfer amount, which will go up about $6,000. But still, you can see the bottom line. If you recall, for this fiscal year, that number was around $350,000, $400,000. And it's now down to about $13,000. For the negative net over expenses. But in the schedule of charges, as you're aware, they cost that at the highest step for each employee or each position. So there's usually, during the true up, we will make up more than that amount. Any questions on Fund 301?
Yeah. What would be the amount we need to increase the allocation of Zone A funding to get that above like a plus $1 revenue?
Well, expenses. If based on option one, it's $20,000 more than this year. So,
well, we are though.
Perfect.
I mean, this is a budget number. The actuals,
right?
Actual expenditures are less than that number,
right?
Because of the
true up.
Because of the true up,
right?
Because it's a budget.
I just find I feel like, given the future transition, making sure that even on paper that we are prepared for even the worst case, the most expensive levels of staffing. So even if we are going to get the true up later on, making sure that we are prepared, showing the community that we are prepared and we are planning, seems like a good idea, regardless. But and with the current Zone A allocation, it seems like it's going to be the case. So that's good.
Well, I think it's going to be good mid-year to look at this again and see how our actual expenditures track versus this budget and where we're at. And we're seeing considerable savings through essentially eliminating overhead,
right,
mostly.
And I have to say, the fire department has been very prudent on managing their budget, and we always have budget savings and operations as well.
So those pieces combined with, the reserve program, I think that the board should be seriously looking at what those costs look like going forward, because they're different than the trajectory that we were on.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'm going to take,
I just wanted to quickly show the reserve balances that we have right now. And so, you know, we have getting close to $3.5 million in our capital outlay reserve, and we do have a significant amount of unassigned cash, $2.2 million down at the bottom. So looking good.
Yeah, and this budget is still inked. We're still increasing reserve amounts. We're still hitting all of our objectives, right? Yeah. Okay, I'll take public comment on any of the funds that we've talked about so far.
If you're online and want to make a public comment on funds 100, 200, 301, 400, or please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margaretson, Ron, can you put that chart back up that I asked for the first time? Can you find it?
Which one?
The with the four scenarios.
Oh, Zone A, I believe.
No.
Here it goes. Okay, so currently in fire, the Zone A allocation is $130,985. The only scenario that increases that is number one. Every other one's a reduction. And the contract, maybe you already know all this, but if Ron maybe could elaborate on the increases in this three-year contract, how it may affect the budget down the road and the net bottom line, I think might be interesting.
There is none online.
Yes. In the way the contract is currently structured, there's a 3.5% increase between year one and two and two and three. So I don't know the exact number from that, but there is a concern on escalating costs because I think the 3.5% is going to be low, which will then possibly eat into the true-up costs at the end of the year. But we'll see. But there is increases built in each year.
How much did our revenue increase this much this last year to the...
It's about 4%.
Okay.
Just a DeOro is the same as Bay Ridge. It has the exact same calculation and issue in terms of cost allocation. If there's nothing there, we can jump into water, which is a little more complicated. Major requests, adjustments to personnel costs due to changes in staffing and employee step increases, wages and salary, but it's not that much. Minor decrease in medical insurance and overall retirement costs. Increase in property and liability insurance, about 6.87%. That's the best estimate we have at this point. And increase in cost allocation due to potential staffing changes. That's the assistant general manager position. Our capital plan carries over three projects from this fiscal year and identifies new critical projects for inclusion in next fiscal year's budget. The net result is it's about the same cost that we estimated for this fiscal year, just slightly less. Then there is the possible change to the cost allocation percentages, which we discussed. And staff is recommending that 2% decrease, as we discussed as well. The net increase in personnel is only the $4,455. Capital outlay, like I said, is about the same. It's lower by about $78,000, but these are just estimates at this point, and I'll talk about capital projects in a moment. And as stated, if we kept the cost allocation at the current, it'd be about $170,000, but with the $20,000 reduction, it'll be about $150,000 with the change in that 2% change down. Revenues are projected to increase by about 2.8% over last fiscal year, and that was part of our rate plan. And of course, the rate study recommended the continuation of the $50,000 contribution from Zone A. We did have to re-examine the recycled water revenue projections. So I've done the best I can in the budget document based on the information we have so far for this fiscal year. And that also impacted the commercial water sales in terms of estimating those, because we've known we've been a little bit off this year because of the addition of recycled water use to Los Osos Middle School. Services and supplies costs overall have increased only slightly due to the potential adding of the general assistant general manager and leaving, and this is due to the potential adding of the job classification of an assistant general manager. That would be split 50-50, as I mentioned before. And if the board disagrees with examining that as an option, then the inner fund transfer will lower and salary in fund 500 will increase. So that's the other variable here. And maybe when we get to the end of this, we can see where the board's at on pursuing the assistant general manager position. So while actual salary and wages have increased by about 1.3%, taxes and benefits have decreased by about 1.6%, and the net increase in total personnel is a very small 0.42%. So that's good news. So some of the object level changes, there is the $4,455 increase in payroll taxes and benefits. Insurance is about $8,000. And then the transfer amount, of course, we just talked about, be more in the $150,000 range. Talk about capital projects here for a moment. The ones that we are adding is, one is to the Third Street well site. We knew we were having an issue with chromium six in that well, and that was gonna require either treatment or blending to get it within the maximum contaminant level. So we'd been working towards a project for this next fiscal year to put in a blending and holding tank to address that. During the building inspections of all our well sites, our crew determined that the well building, which is basically a glorified shed, is to a point it needs to be rebuilt. Unfortunate, we don't have a firm cost estimate on that, but given the location on Third Street right on the bay, we anticipate the permitting and general environmental review is going to be extensive and costly. Plus the rebuild, we're gonna go to a concrete foundation, something more substantial than what's there right now. So we're looking at an approximate $600,000 project for that.
There goes the water building, the yard for the guys again.
No, I got some good news on that too, coming up here.
Okay.
We've talked a little bit about the intertie project to connect state water. One of the things that has come up is the building of the new bridge across Los Osos Creek. We have had an agreement with the county that they would put in the portal for the pipeline across. That was paid for with federal grant money. But we need to coordinate with them on the north and south approach and install pipe in the approach and across the bridge before they do their final paving and relocation of South Bay Boulevard, the movement of South Bay Boulevard. So we are in the design. Our design team has done that design and has provided us with an engineering estimate. I think it's high because it has 30% contingency on it, but it's about $1 million with that contingency. I think it'll be more around the $850,000, but much needed to keep that project moving along on schedule. So I wanted to review where we're at with the projects from this year. We've completed the program Seawell. The intertie design is on target with the amount we budgeted for this current fiscal year. We did not initiate the valve replacement program, so it's going to have to carry over. The water yard office phase one, I have a proposal from an engineer or an architectural firm, same firm that did the building assessment up at the fire station. And so we're going to start moving on that as soon as we get a contract. So that'll probably be done before the end of this fiscal year, but it'll be close. So that'll be the phase one on that project. 10th Street tank repairs are complete. We're on target for the booster pump station up at 16th Street, and the SCADA project is essentially complete. So we'd accomplished quite a bit this year, which is, I'm really glad to say that, you know, that's one of the first years we've been able to push this many projects out or complete this many projects. Moving into what we're proposing for next fiscal year is the continuation of the Intertie project design, pipeline design, the valve replacement program, the Third Street well. This project, the arts, we may need a phase two in here. I don't know what that'll cost, but there's a placeholder here, even though we're underway. It looks like the phase one will be about $29,000 instead of $50,000. Phase two would probably be plans and specs. And I don't know what that cost would be yet. And then the actual pipeline across the creek.
So I noticed the valve replacement program is a lot more. Is that because there's more to be done?
No, what we did at mid-year, we were going to split the cost of that because we thought, well, we'll start it late this fiscal year and complete it next fiscal year. Okay, so we broke it in half.
Okay.
So that's why you're seeing that increase. Any other questions on the capital?
So we didn't start any of the valve replacement?
No. Well, we've done a few that staff could do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what I was thinking. At least, yeah, we're doing what we can.
Yeah. And, okay. But it's going to take a bid document.
The rest will be contracted.
Okay. Contracted. So this is the summary. Of course, we got that big number down at the bottom like we usually do. And we will be coming back to the board after the adoption of the budget to look at all the reserves. And there may be the need to use some capital outlay reserve this next upcoming fiscal year to accomplish these projects. Again, we're doing well. We have approaching $2.2 million in our capital outlay. The other reserves are moving. We've got a healthy amount in general contingency, and we haven't had to replace any vehicles lately, and we do have a little over $400,000 in unassigned cash. That's the part that's been coming down to pay for all these projects that we're accomplishing this year. Any other questions about Fund 500? The wastewater, this, as you know, is really just an administrative task for our staff, and we have a contract with NBS to help with the, you know, the property tax allotments to every parcel. So the increase to NBS is not that much. And actually, the cost to U.S. Bank for managing their part of it has come down a little bit. And just the cost allocation increase. So here's what you're seeing. Transfers go up, service and supplies go up a nominal amount, and that we will have to increase our revenue a little bit to cover all of this from the Fund 600. Any questions on Fund 600? Now, here's our solid waste. I want to premise this that tonight we have the principals from both Baywood Elementary and Monarch Grove. What we're proposing in this, we've been doing a pilot program of compost delivery to Los Osos Valley Nursery for the past year, and it's turned out to be very, very successful. So we want to make that a regular program, very low cost, but it's a great program in that it connects people that the green waste they put into and organics they put in their container actually come out and look like the stuff you can pick up for free at the nursery. So anyway, we're proposing to keep that going. The biggest one though is to allocate money to the garden and recycling education program up at both elementary schools. A nonprofit organization, One Cool Earth, operates those programs. I've had a lot of experience over my career off and on with One Cool Earth. They do great programs, got some great feedback. I was over at Monarch Grove for the walk and roll to school the other day, and a lot of parents came up and expressed their appreciation when they heard that staff was recommending funding these two programs. So the district share would be $14,200 for each school. So that's where the $28,400 dollars come in. And if you have any questions, we have the two great principals here. Otherwise, I'll take any questions.
Yeah, do you guys want to say anything about these programs? You could probably just go to the mic.
Come up to the microphone.
We've been contributing to the recycling, the compost delivery out at the nursery.
Yes.
It's excellent. I've taken my car down there quite a few times.
Hi, I'm Kirsten May. I'm principal at Baywood Elementary School. And then Clark Goosen is here with me.
Yeah. Clark Goosen, principal at Monarch Grove Elementary.
Yeah, so we have had One Core Earth at our school since I've been principal there. This is my fourth year. Students have weekly, monthly lessons they sign up for. They go up to a garden educator. As you may know, we're a dual language immersion school, so our garden educator is bilingual. So our kids get all their high academic vocabulary in the garden in both languages that they're learning in. And their garden lessons are aligned with our science curriculum. So they cover all of the science standards at the different grade levels. One of the highlights of the year was the garden educator brought a bike that was attached to a blender. And our little TK students got to pick all the vegetables and everything for a salsa and put it in the blender and then watch their teacher ride the bike and create the salsa that they then got to eat. So we're doing a little farm to table work, and those were, you know, super cute to see our 5-year-olds watch their teachers do that. And then we also have, along with that program, what we call a green team. And those are some of our student leaders help our students sort their trash at the end of their lunch eating time. So they learn what's recyclable, what goes in the trash, and then what is compostable. So all of our students, when they're done, they sort all of their waste into those three bins. And then we do have a live compost there in our garden as well that they use when they're planting. So just a little like overview synopsis of what it looks like. And it's available to our students from TK through fifth grade, serving all 324 students that we have.
Yeah. I mean, I think you summarized that perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's been super valuable. Oh, sorry. It's been a really valuable program to Monarch Grove, where we have a community that really values garden time, and our kids getting not only that hands-on experience with waste, but also a broader experience in science and in sustainability as well, which is a huge focus of the program. We had some test taking going on today, and one of our kids got a question about composting and whether or not it was a good thing. He could have an opinion one way or another. And I was very pleased. This student can be very argumentative at times, but I was very pleased to see that he chose that it was a good thing. And it gives you all these different sources. And he was able to I might have been peering over his shoulder a bit, but to very eloquently explain why it was a good thing to compost. And I think it would be a very beneficial program for our schools. So thank you for considering it.
Hey, one question I had is, so does that program provide the leader, the garden educator? Is that part of it?
Yeah. It comes with the garden educator and field trips.
Yeah. There's actually two tiers of programming. The tier that we're asking for is the first tier of programming, which is $14,200. Our PTA has interest in matching that funds to add on to create the second tier of the programming, which does include some field trips to local watersheds in different areas around the county. So in the first tier program, it provides a garden educator one day a week, the second tier program 2 days a week, but it is double the cost. In addition to that, I believe there are different add-ons that you can add there. It depends on which programming, but there are different add-ons. One is the green team. We also do a school-wide waste audit where all the waste from all the classrooms and the lunch area, all the trash cans are emptied throughout the school and maintained overnight. They're not put in our dumpsters by our fabulous custodians. And then students go up class by class and sort and look at the whole school's waste for just one day and how much gets accumulated, and just really bring awareness to, we go through a lot of paper at schools. And so just to bring some awareness to our students. So To answer your question, it does provide a garden educators and a couple of add-ons, but depending on the tiers of the programs that you pay for, it's different.
Right, right. So it's more than curriculum. It's they're implementing this program at your school.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thank teachers you. Love it because they show up with their class and just get to enjoy and not have to do the lesson planning and leading. They really do have somebody who's an expert in the garden leading the lessons.
Any other questions? No? Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for coming tonight and actually sitting through our budget discussion.
Unfortunately for you, it was fun 650, not right. 100.
Going back to our major request, there will be no further contributions to the general contingency reserve since we've made that whole this fiscal year. Franchise fee revenues will increase based on the rates because of the percentage. The increase in the allocation, cost allocation, is a little over $26,000. Revenues should increase about $16,800. Service and supplies, as we just discussed, goes up $30,500. The transfer at the $26,400. And general contingency goes to zero based on comparing it to this fiscal year. So this is what we look like, and we're still net revenue over expenses at almost $170,000. As we've talked about in the past, as our reserves and unassigned cash in 650, we will be making some decisions on what to do with all the added revenue. We've talked about franchise fee decrease associated with the upcoming, next year's rate solid waste increase, or some other type of mechanism to benefit the rate payer.
Right. So basically, this was a big part of why we wanted to bring solid waste back, right? Is to get a hold of those dollars for community benefit.
Correct.
So we have community benefit that we're considering here, which I think is great. I think. In the next year, we got to start making a plan about what are we doing with this money and how are we going to get that back to the ratepayers.
Right.
Such a problem.
It's a good problem. It's like being Santa Claus a little.
Yeah. No, I want to say I appreciate the programs that are going on at the schools. I was so happy when I didn't have to have a compost bin in my backyard anymore because we got a lot of rodents around here. And so, now that I can put it in my green waste bin and then go down to the nursery and pick it up, it simplified my life. And the earlier we get people thinking about reducing waste of any kind, reuse it, find something else to do.
And I have to say, we are the only community in the county that has that compost giveaway program. Oh. Periodically the facility opens it up to the public, but we're the only one that has it.
I didn't know that.
Doesn't surprise me.
Are we in agreement with the proposals in the solid waste budget? Because I want to make sure
everybody's looking good.
You can leave if you need.
Absolutely.
So here's our unassigned cash. This is probably the most important part of this. Is we've got that $651,000. Which is nearing what we could use that to pay off all the garbage bills for a billing cycle. The community is about that much. Whether we want to spend all of it at once or not, that'd be the question. So anyway, we'll have further in-depth discussions on those. Drainage. Minor increases in personnel.
Can I ask you a quick question on that? What are the limitations on using that unassigned cash in that fund? Can you move it out of that fund?
No.
Okay.
Since it's generated from a specific fee, we have to use it for something.
That's what I assumed, but I wanted to make sure.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Drainage, minor increase in personnel costs, interfund transfer, of course, and then I mentioned the legal and professional fees. We already talked about the cost allocation increased 4%. There's a slight increase in personnel budget, and we've talked about this at UAC and I think a little bit of finance. The cost increase was that we've had more maintenance on our areas because of the weeds. You know, staff spends a lot of time weed whacking, and so that's where this has come in, especially up in the Bay Ridge neighborhood in that green space that we maintain. Internal loan due is decreasing slightly. The transfer, of course, goes up. And then I mentioned legal services. I'm recommending a little bit of an increase with anticipating some discussions with the county. This is basically, you know, with the transfer, this is showing in the transfer, this would be under the current cost allocation at $25,200. That would go up to $40,000. So this is where $40,000 or $50,000 would keep this in the black. But, you know, Tom's been trying to manage the Zone A money. And here, though, we do have reserves, have $65,000, and we do have unassigned cash, which is fairly substantial. Some of this was from our initial FEMA payment. That was only $62,000. I got a notification today from FEMA that they're looking at the closeout of the other portion, which is a little over $400,000. So we're moving closer to having enough money to do at least one of the two projects up at Cabrillo Basin. Any questions on drainage?
I have one question. Looking at the revenue in-depth breakdown, the Zone A property tax is listed as $70,000, even though last year it was only $50,000, and then the proposal for option one will be $46,000. Where did the $70,000 come from?
I'd have to look, but I'm guessing that it might be interest payment.
Interest from what?
Investments.
Cool. It's listed specifically as Zone A.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Tom, I see $70,000 for last year and $70,000 for this year for Zone A.
Correct. But if we're looking at option one, it would be $46,000. So I don't know how we got $70,000. None of these options list $70,000.
Oh, that's a placeholder in there.
All right.
What you're looking at. That's the same as what it was last year. Or this year, I mean, I'm sorry.
Forgive me for harping on this. Last year, we only allocated $50,000 from Zone A.
Tom, I will have to look into that and get back to you.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to speak from my memory because it's not bad, but we may have made some sort of an adjustment during the year.
Noted. Thank you very much. Well, in that case, we're going to be like $20,000 in the red for drainage if you go with option A. All right, thank you.
Okay, finally, Parks and Rec. And as I mentioned at the beginning, this is a status quo budget. It's really going to be dependent on Measure B26 being successful. We'll know right before our next board meeting. So I'm suggesting that, you know, we see how this turns out and then begin staff can think fairly quickly, put together a budget that would be a good first year budget because we can't really start any operations until mid next fiscal year. So anyway, we'll try to have a budget back to the board for the July 2nd meeting. If not soon after that. So really it's right now, it's just looking at the cost allocation again, and that could change too, if the depending on what the board decides. So not many surprises on Parks and Rec at this point in time. This is definitely to be considered. And this is where you see we have almost $199,000 in our reserve and $149,000 in unassigned cash. So there is money in Parks and Rec. So that's the end of the presentation. A lot of numbers. Appreciate your patience. Any additional questions or comments?
Once again, thank you for making it really easy to go through these. It's been your MO the whole time, so it makes it kind of quiet. But we'll take public comment for all the rest of the funds.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margetson. Just a side note, and in the water fund, total service charges and fees to date, the 0.34% off of the rate study prediction. And I have a new general manager, so that's kind of an end of an era. Ron, myself, have been on all five rate studies that didn't cost the district, but there were other people like Rob Miller, I think he did three of them. Keith Weimer was on one, Leonard Moutart was on a number of them, but at the cost of a rate study now, that was probably a savings to the district from public participation and the expertise of staff, probably saving at least $200,000 over the last five studies. So I don't know what the plans are in the future to do them internally, but just wanted to highlight that. And we're not that far off at this point.
Right.
For amateurs.
Solid waste. Ron put the number up there that their unassigned cash is five something. If you add what the surplus will be this year and then the surplus in the budget that you're about to approve or going to approve in another month, you're going to be close to $1 million, and the contingency reserve is fully funded. And I know this is on you guys' minds. Getting the fund back in the district, which we never wanted it to leave back when it was, you know, decided to go there. Marshall, I thought that was the one flaw in Marshall's negotiation with the county. I hated that he gave that up as part of the negotiations, but it also allowed what happened tonight with the school district to be funded by that fund. If we didn't have the fund back, that wouldn't have happened. But either a reduction in the franchise fee or paying off a bill, I think, and it sounded like Matthew wants to have that discussion next year. And then the final thing, Ron put up on the overhead. You do have, can I have a little bit more time? Did put up on the overhead what the unassigned cash and the reserves are for parks. If this passes, you will have money to get the process started, but maybe Ron can talk if he knows at this point, because this will be on the ballot and it'll be on the property tax rolls. We won't see money coming in, you know, in July, August, September, in any large quantities until that first payment is made on the property tax roll. It's going to be like the fire, you know, the fire revenue. So that money, do they think that will bridge that gap until the property taxes start coming in to make the payments on the property and the O&M portion? You know, kind of maybe keep that in mind when you get back to the cost allocation issue, that you do have startup money to get to that point, and it can be allocated into the fund when the property taxes come in. So
thank you, Richard.
Yeah, in terms of the first payment to the school district, the tentative agreement that we have is we wouldn't have to make that first payment until July 2027. So that will help. But it, you know, the way the structure of the measure and the amount of revenue being collected, it's going to be very tight, especially on the O&M side.
I'm kind of curious what we're going to do with all the interest money from all this tax money coming to us and not the county.
Well, we'll be seeing starting July 1st, the county will then be forwarding all the
fire
tax money. Right. And so that's going to be definitely our investment opportunity there.
Yeah, because they're not small numbers.
No, they're not. And they've been holding a reserve of 800 grand, I believe was the last number I heard.
Happy about that project.
It was just about through negotiations on that as well.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
Now that we've seen all of the funds, I wanted to revisit option one for Fund A. I want to keep it as is, basically. But since we saw that Parks and Rec is 29,000 in the red, in the green, in the black, that we take 20,000 of that and put it to drainage to make sure that it is funded as well. And that was not necessarily a priority, but doing that will make sure every single one of the funds except water gets an increase of funding this year.
I think the way we can address that is we need to talk about the assistant GM position. Is the board supportive of us moving forward with that concept?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Because what we will do, and I'm sorry, I'll get back to your, what we'll do is work on a job description and salary range and bring that back to the June meeting. Greg will be on board. We'll definitely hammer that one out. And then that way, if the board approves it in June, we could start recruitment. Because then you're into July for interviews, and then you're into August probably for a start date.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, I think it'll be good to have Greg's input on all those pieces.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He needs to hire that person. Yeah. Going back to your with that settled, when we come back in June, I'll have some alternatives really narrowed down to the conversation we had tonight for Zone A.
Mm-hmm.
Options 1A, 1B, 1C.
Well, our June meeting, you'll know if it passed or not passed.
Yeah, right. Right.
So we'll be able to.
Could be busy on the 3rd.
Intelligently figure a little bit more out.
And so we'll circle back to your point, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you, Richard, for reaffirming the priority of the fire department. I didn't want to cut funding. Lowering it to the recommendation I originally said would still be an increase from last year, but I do like option one is fire funding as well.
Okay. Well, with that, bring it to the board for, do we need a motion?
Just to set the hearing date.
I move to set the date for the public hearing for adoption of fiscal year 2026-2027 budget for June 4th, 2026.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. We'll see it in June. All right. You have to walk us through this part.
Right. if you recall, this came before you once before, and this is for the alternate seat for a special district on LAFCO. There were three candidates last time. The one that we voted for wasn't in the top two because I guess there was a tie for the other two. So LAFCO is now coming back again, asking us, or all special districts, to cast a ballot. I feel really bad for LAFCO staff. They've spent an inordinate amount of time on this. They actually came to our CSDA luncheon last time and talked to it as well. So I feel compelled to, if we can come to a decision tonight, to do it. There's two candidates. Gwen Davis from San Miguel Community Services District, John Joyce from Napomo Community Services District. Here's the current special district representatives. One is from Napomo CSD and the other one's from Templeton CSD. There's not a whole lot of information on them, but we provided everything that we know. Both were fairly brief in their bios that were given to us. So if there is an opinion one way or another, geographically separated north and south as far as you can go. I don't know if that would be a consideration or not. There is an Opomo person already on. That could maybe be another. So I don't have a whole lot of more guidance than that, except that it'd be nice if we could just have a quick discussion and maybe come to consensus and a vote.
I like John Joyce, even though he's from the same district. That would be my pick.
I was also leaning towards John Joyce.
I was too, until you mentioned Nipomo already has someone on LAFCO. But Nipomo has a lot going on.
They do.
Yeah, I'm okay with John.
Okay. Maybe
public comment?
Oh, yeah. Public comment. Thank you.
Yeah. Public comment for
7B.
7B agenda item.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I move that the board cast a vote for John Joyce for LAFCO alternative seat team through December 2030 and direct staff to submit the official ballot documents to LAFCO.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you so much. And I know LAFCO appreciates it too.
Okay. Cast our vote. Okay. Now it's time for public comment for items not on this agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium.
Catherine Corson.
It's
not. Thank you. Catherine.
It's on.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Go ahead. Sorry, Catherine.
Catherine Corson, Sunnyside Park Citizens Coalition. We, the coalition, have started our community outreach program in the support of Measure B26. At the Earth Day celebration on Saturday, April 25th, we had many positive communication with community members that came to our table. Several of them walked away with yes on Measure B26 yard signs. Both of the District 2 supervisor candidates were also at Earth Day and spoke at the town hall. And both were very supportive of our efforts in expanding park and recs in Los Osos. That was very good to hear. So the things that we've done, we purchased 3 ads in the Estero Bay News. The first one ran on April 23rd, which would have been right before the Earth Day celebration. The next 2 will come out on May 7th and May 21st. As the community is evaluating and determining their vote that they're going to cast. It's my understanding everyone's encouraged to wait until the end of the month for other reasons before they actually cast their vote. So we have a little bit of time. We've engaged volunteers to place additional yard signs and distribute door hangers neighborhood by neighborhood. We've also launched a social media campaign, updated our Facebook, Instagram, as well as put things out on Nextdoor, which have already hit the news. And so that's been a good portion of our social media campaign. It's really, I had a great experience when I was canvassing the neighborhoods, hanging door hangers with my volunteer partner. We met a lot of new people, connected to a lot of old friends, had some great conversations, put up a couple of more yard signs while we were out, and then just talked to them overall about the measure. We left them with 2 thoughts. 1, don't forget to vote. And 2, yes, we did ask them for a yes vote on Measure B26. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is no public comment online.
Thank you, Laura.
Richard Margetson, when you watched the news tonight on KSBY, there's a segment where the 2 candidates for supervisor are are interviewed by the local reporter for the Coast for KSBY. And one of the subject matters was the growth management ordinance at point four and the response from both supervisors. And for some reason in the background is the overhead projector from the Board of Supervisors meeting in November with me giving my public comment. But the reason I mentioned that is Mr. D'Antona has made it pretty clear. He believes we have sufficient water for this community, and he can prove it. I'm not thrilled personally with either candidate. I think in a district of 57,000, I would hope that there'd be some other people, but some of the good ones won't step up because elections are brutal. Anyway, that was very interesting, and I think with him we get another Bruce, and I think in the end of the year, I think Bruce is going to push through point six, which would be the next step, or at least keep it at point four, and I think Mr. D'Antona will continue that legacy. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick, a public service announcement, the People Helping People monster huge rummage sale at the community center is going to be June 5th, Friday from 12 to 4 and Saturday from 9 to 2. We fill the entire room. Chuck's helped at that. It's all quality stuff. Everything works. Everything's clean. It's one of our fundraisers to support People Helping People and the community center and Needs and Wishes, because they each get a portion of it. It's become a pretty big event in this for the rummage sale goers. Last year when we opened the door, the line was from the stage door at the community center all the way to the skateboard park at 12 o'clock. We did $1,800 in the first 20 minutes. The other thing, just real quick with my last 20 some seconds, the food bank, I don't know if you saw the article on the news about the food bank getting a possible reduction in a section of their funding from the federal, 90% of that portion that they get. We're seeing already a trickle down to the Wednesday food giveaway. We're not able to purchase. We haven't been able to purchase meat the last like 4 or 5 weeks. Canned good options have been limited to two or three, where it used to be 7, 8. So people are hurting out there. The one gentleman came up to me Wednesday in line and he said, "I never thought I'd be here, but if I can save on a loaf of bread and some vegetables and a piece of meat, it's going in my gas tank." And he said, "You know, my wife and I are on on hourly salaries, our hourly wages. So anything helps." So people are hurting out there.
Thank you. Okay, I don't see any other public comment. So we'll move on. Okay. So administrative committee reports. We're on to the GM report, really.
Oh, it's my turn. I did put in the report a little brief summary of the Earth Day celebration event put on by Parks for Los Osos. I did want to add that it was really fun to see the young families that showed up. Unfortunately, it was a rainy day, so it wasn't as well attended. But young families, all the service clubs that were out there, there's Kiwanis, Rotary, Friends of Elfin Forest, Cuesta Inlet, Save Cuesta Inlet. Anyway, it was really great to see all those people. We did have a little bit of a town hall with myself talking, LOCAC, and then, like Catherine said, the supervisor. So anyway, it was a great event. I did want to bring to your attention, I talked about this, it's been a while, that the county is putting out an RFP for emergency medical services. That's the ambulance service. It's still moving. It's moving slowly. Legally, the RFP has to be reviewed by the state before it can be released by the county. I recently had a meeting with Chief Spernetta from the city of Paso Robles, who's leading the effort. This is something that's very important for the CSD to really follow and participate in. I've been fortunate enough to participate with the city managers and informally as a rep for the special districts. So I've been keeping the other general managers informed. But this is a vital a piece of our infrastructure for emergency services that we were deficient on for many, many years. It's gotten much better, but we're still not quite there. But it's way better than it was 5 years ago or 6 years ago. So anyway, I just wanted to bring it up that it's still in process. I think we should, I'll talk to Greg, continue to report out on it. And so this board could be informed as that RFP moves forward. That's all I have for tonight.
Okay. Any comments, questions? I wanted to follow up. Last meeting, I had three agenda items that I wanted us to get going on. One was the presentation, so we can interface with the Board of Supervisors. The other was the SCADA tour and water yard tour. Third was information on returning us to at-large elections.
Right.
So I'd like to get those moving.
Okay.
So I think it would be great if we could get information on the at-large elections at the next meeting.
Something meaning to talk to Craig about?
Yeah. So I wanted to bring it up because time's kind of passing by quickly here, and we're about to hit summer, and I know for me, I get really, really busy. So I'm trying to take care of a lot of things before June, July hit. I'd like to do the skating yard tour sometime before our next meeting also in the next month. And the Board of Supervisor presentation is also, you know, very, very important that we start. Richard brought it up, but I mean, that the sooner we start getting those messages and talking to those people, I think the better.
Yeah, I can talk to that one real quick. The BMC annual report is in draft form. I just finished reviewing it. It's a large, long document today. That'll be made public at the May 29th meeting, the public draft. BMC will be acting on that in June, and I think that's when the BMC will then start formulating the recommendation. So I think we should piggyback onto that effort in terms of where the BMC recommendation goes. The recommendation last year was basically the purveyors because Supervisor Gibson recused himself, I think appropriately.
What's that timeline? When is that?
It's the BMC has to approve the annual report in June.
Okay.
And then after that, they have, I forget what the timeline is, I think it's either August to come up with the recommendation to the county on the growth rate for 2027. And then the county doesn't take action until December. So that would be the window, I think, from when the BMC makes their recommendation on the growth rate and the actual meeting. You'd want to start contacting them
in August. Okay.
Did you say the BMC meeting this month would be the 29th?
Pretty sure that's what it's got.
Okay, so it's been bumped a couple weeks.
Rescheduled because of director unavailability.
Okay.
Don't we basically have what the recommendation is right now, though?
No. The recommendation doesn't come out of the annual report. The annual recommendation comes after the report is adopted and the BMC can deliberate on it.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, I would like to see something on that as soon as we can. And that at large thing, I think we need to be discussing in June.
Yeah.
And get the SCADA stuff before summer. Cause
okay.
I'm not going to be around. Okay, that's what I got. Yeah. Okay, moving on. The next administrative committee report that we really have is UAC. I will make a plug for Parks and Rec. We have a meeting on May 19th where we are going to look at the general structure of how Sunnyside would be administered and financed and paid for in general terms, not specifically, in preparation of if, you know, what happens on June 2nd. So I think it's going to be a good discussion. With that, Chuck, you got UAC.
We talked about the budget adjustments that we just heard about, and then the annual work plan. We went to review the work plan. One comment that I would like to make is that I'm amazed at how we're constantly juggling and reallocating resources. Third Street, a building is needed. Okay, $1 million for a pipeline. We manage our capital improvement program very well. And I'm very happy to see that we are in a position that we just roll with it.
We're getting good at pivoting.
Yes. But having the resources to be able to pivot is necessary too. And so, that's it.
Okay, finance.
We had a pretty standard meeting. We looked at the budget. We recommended approval of the financials and recommended approval of the warrant and registers. Is there anything I'm missing?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
All right.
Okay. I think you covered it. Both you and finance looked at the entire budget and was in concurrence with we didn't talk about Zone A, but the cost allocation plan and the budgets in general. And UAC was also in favor or in concurrence with the budget and the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every once in a while, there's a little something special.
Mm-hmm. Very standard this time.
Okay.
Well, they looked at the budget and very happy with it, like you said. All right, that's all for the finances. Any questions on that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any director announcements?
Oh.
Or I don't think we have any previously asked questions. So any director announcements?
Oh.
Announcements or like the
reports on attendance at public?
I have a report. Or we went to the CSDA luncheon and district supervisor Don Ortiz legs spoke and it was pretty interesting. I think, was she on the Clean Air Resource Board? The cardboard for the state.
Right.
And she was kind of discussing how a lot of the solutions don't really make sense for like a small rural county and some of the like having EV trucks when our trucks are, on the Carrizo Plains, like there's no place to charge. Where, you know, if you're in a big city, there's lots of places to charge. And it was interesting. She had some good insight. What else did she talk about?
Boy, she talked for a long time. Nothing surfing, you know, bubbles up. It was informative in her perspective. You know, talked about housing.
Oh, water. How there's PFAS from the airport.
Oh, yeah, the PFAS in the airport area.
And they were kind of looking into some of the wells nearby were getting contamination. She was trying to see if they could get piped into the regular water district. And the answer was no, they could not. So.
Okay.
I went to a DSAL meeting, which is an acronym that stands for Desalination Strategic Executable Logistics, I believe, which is just one of the best acronyms ever. But the meeting talked about the county's plans for potential desal, potential options, potential alternatives, the obstacles they'll face, the ecological impact, the governmental barriers, and why the county is potentially going to need it. That was a really interesting meeting. Ron was also there because he's everywhere. Anything special about that I should
No,
should
it was a very interesting night. I thought the presentation was very, very informative. There was, of course, opposition, mainly from the citizens of Morro Bay.
From who?
Anyway, it was good.
Some Morro Bay citizens are concerned about the industrialization of the coastline. I don't think any of the options listed are explicitly especially damaging the coastline. There was a fear that it would be as destructive as the smokestacks. So I think that opposition could be talked with and worked with to make sure there is an ecological consideration in any plans involving Morro Bay, if Morro Bay decides to house the project. That's far off in the future.
What'd they say about dealing with the waste product?
The big thing is that they want to attach it to current waste runoffs. That's why Morro Bay is considered one of the better alternatives, because they would connect the brackish water to the waste water runoff and mix it with that and send it out as...
You've got an outfall there already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So trying... One of the big things in seeing if a location is viable is if they have an outfall already.
There's regulation on dilution of the brine. And so that's why wastewater is a good alternative, because it's basically been treated, maybe not to drinking water standards, but you know, pollutants eliminated, and then dilution of the brine.
And then I guess I thought that they were talking about putting it in South County.
There is a possibility. But that is one of the possibilities.
This was an alternatives analysis that looked at the feasibility of several sites.
Oh, okay. Thanks for reporting back. I wish I made it.
It was awesome.
Okay. With that, I want to see if anyone wants to pull a consent agenda item.
I don't want to pull one, but like I did last meeting, I want to highlight one. Item I on the consent agenda is a letter directing staff to prepare a letter of thanks to the City of Morro Bay and Fire Chief for considering a partnership for the fire protection and emergency medical services. I also just wanted to publicly on the meeting, on the record, also say thank you to Morro Bay and the Fire Chief there.
So I'll be working with Matthew on that one.
Okay, so we're not pulling consent agenda. So any public comments for items on the administrative committee reports in the consent agenda?
If you're online, raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Richard Margetson. Matthew, thanks for bringing that item up about starting to come up with talking points for supervisors, because if you watch the meeting in December on the growth ordinance and saw who from this district and Chuck and others spoke, and the response from the supervisors of not even engaging in some additional questions or whatever was absolutely pathetic. So I think going one-on-one, there's certain ones I think can possibly be influenced, but you got to start that process because anyway, thanks for advocating for that.
Yeah, you got it.
There's no public comment online.
Okay, with that, I'll take a motion.
I'll move that the board receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Voice vote. I'm not going to read through all those. So can you do a roll call, please, Laura?
Yes, Vice President Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Forcroy.
Yes. Okay, we pass all right. Those items. Okay, I already talked about future agenda items that I'm requesting. Anybody else have any future agenda items that you would like? Okay. Closing board comments. Well, I want to thank Ron Muntz. I believe Mr. Qualick is going to start here in a couple of weeks. So this could be your last solo adventure.
Hmm. Well, it is my last meeting as the general manager.
Yeah. Wow. So thank you for all of the hard work and the years and your dedication to Los Osos and this district.
It's been great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we're not really letting you go yet.
No, I wasn't prepared for my comments tonight. That's for sure. Wait, it's here? Okay.
It's like the pre
Yeah.
Pre.
It is a change.
Yeah, but definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be great.
No, it's going to be fine. We'll be all right.
It will be.
Yeah. And getting us through another budget cycle.
Yes. Of course, it had to be a little more complicated. So.
It's not over. Okay, with that, meeting adjourned.
Franchise fees. What do we do with those?